gmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE, today's Modern Worship. My name is Bob Arthurs. You're listening to the Refresh Radio program, where we're going to spend the next half hour with you talking about the Word of God. And right now, we are specifically talking about things that belong to God. For yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen. We're actually going through the Lord's Prayer portion, and that portion of the prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And so we have found our way to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And so we're going to be looking today at verse number 11. Yesterday we had talked about that all that is in heaven and in earth belongs to God. So I want to say thank you today to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If you're in the central part of Brevard County, you can give them a call. If your AC is not doing the C part, you know, that cooling part, that's the very important part. In fact, you could be having a problem if the fan's gone out. You might have a problem with the air part. It might be cooling, but the fan motor is not working. Whether it's the A, whether it's the C, or anything in between, Bill Andriak can come out and take a look at your system. He can diagnose the problem. He can recommend the solution to you and do it at a very reasonable cost. And if you want to talk for just a moment about the Lord, he's there to do that as well. He absolutely loves Jesus and wants as many people to know him as possible. If you need an air conditioning repair done or an estimate on how much it costs to replace a system, give them a call, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284, and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. You know, we are getting into pretty much the peak of the storm season. I believe late August and September are pretty much the peak areas of that. And you want to make sure that your AC is ready just in case we have some power outages that come our way. You want to get your house cool before the power goes out. So give them a call and have them come and check out your system and make sure that you are ready for the most intense heat of the season whenever that comes. 321-759-3284 and tell them that you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. So tonight we have youth group at 7. We have a Bible study at 7 o'clock, and we would love to have you come and be a part of that. That is taking place. The Bible studies in our sanctuary at 7. The youth group happens in the fellowship hall. There is social distancing that takes place, and we are studying covenant right now in the adult Bible study. I think we'll probably be finishing that up tonight, but we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. So let's take you back to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and we're going to read the passage we've been reading now for several days. Verse number 10, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 10. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. So yesterday we had talked about, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Okay? And that has ramifications. That particular principle has ramifications throughout this passage that we have been talking about. When you think about that, you realize that when God commands us to give, he is not commanding that out of a need-based mentality. What I mean by that is, we have a taxation rate. We have a tax in the county. We have a tax in, tax level from the state that hits us at the gas pump, and sales tax and property tax and all of that. And all of that is based on what they have determined are their budgetary needs. Now, you got to understand, when government does that, They don't determine budgetary needs the same way that you do in your house. In your house, you have an amount of income that is set aside. You know, the tithe belongs to the Lord, the 90% belongs to you. And then you've got to figure out how you're going to make the cash that you have available after the government gets their portion, how you're going to stretch that. And so you determine your needs by what you have. So the way the government works is they determine what they have defined as their needs, and that creates their taxation level. And then they say, okay, you're going to need to provide this so that we can have everything that we need. It's backwards. It's not a business model. It's a governmental model. I want you to understand, God's not like that. God's not. Think about this statement: for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. There's another passage where God said, look, if I needed a sacrifice, I wouldn't tell you. Have you ever had someone in your life? I feel like I might have a sneeze coming on. Hopefully I don't. Have you ever had someone in your life that you were going to go and buy a gift for, and it was the most difficult thing that you could do because they didn't need anything? If they had a need, they didn't wait for a special occasion and say, well, this is what I need. They just went out and bought it. I know people like that. You know, they don't, whenever they receive a gift, it's not a need. It's because someone wants to bless them with something. So I want to help frame the mindset of what God's economic system looks like. He owns it all. He owns it all. You know, I say that I own my house. Well, the bank and I own the house, and my wife, we own the house, but we really don't. We're just stewards of it. And at some point in time, it's going to go somebody. We're just stewards there for this particular season. Somebody else is going to come along. You know, 100 years from now, it'll be in someone else's hands. So there is all sorts of things like that go on. Well, it's the same with God. God owns everything. He was before us. He will be after us. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, like we talked yesterday. He owns the hills, and he owns the minerals under the hills. He owns the stars above the hills. He owns everything. He owns everything. And so when you understand that, now you are set up to see what it really means when it says, God, yours is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty, and everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. Okay, so we've already talked about that yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. But let me just say this. It is a kingdom. It is not a democracy. It's not up for your vote, not up for my vote. It is a kingdom. And with that being said, I want you to add this concept to it. It belongs to him. It doesn't belong to me, and it doesn't belong to you. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, so people will come and ask me about my church. Well, it is my church as far as responsibility and authority goes, but it is God's church because Jesus paid for it with his blood. It belongs to him. So people, you know, sometimes think that, well, when you're the pastor, you get everything you want. I'm here to tell you, no, you don't. At least I don't. Because I don't operate from that mindset. I operate that it's God's church and it's God's resources. And I want to give a proper accounting to that. So once a year we have an annual business meeting, and we give a very detailed accounting of everything that comes in. We put explanations on there. We do not have miscellaneous funds or anything like that. Everything is itemized for our people. Now, there are some details that are put together in groupings, you know, like we don't tell them how much we gave to every missionary along the way, but you know how we tell them, you know, this is how much we gave to missions, this is how much went to the utilities, the electric bill, and all of that sort of stuff, this is how much was spent sending kids to camp and things like that, which this year was zip. no camps this year. So there's an account, and we do that. And I said, you need to understand this. This goes back probably 15 or 20 years ago when I was having a discussion with them. And I said, what you need to understand is I have to give an accounting to God for my stewardship of the resources at Merit Assembly of God. I am much more concerned about that than I am having to stand up before you. I handle my resources so I can say, God, here's what we did with your resources. That's how I handle that situation. And so you recognize it's God's kingdom. So we need to be concerned about his glorious name. We need to be concerned about his kingdom plundering the kingdom of darkness. We need to be willing to do our part to advance his kingdom. He said he will build his church. It is not a matter of if the church is going to be built. It will be built. We just need to be willing to do our part, and we are willing to do our part because it's his kingdom. You know, what could be done if people are not concerned about who gets the glory? I heard somebody say, you know, if you take the credit for it. I don't care who gets the credit for it. You take the credit for it. All we want is we want to see the results. All I want is to see people around the marriage supper of the Lamb. All I want to see is as many people not going to hell as possible. I want people accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So I want to do my part. I'd love to see Merit Assembly of God grow, but I'm really concerned about kingdom growth. I was talking to somebody, and they said this: in actuality, most of the things that we talk about as church growth really aren't church growth. They are people who just shuffle saints from one area to another. and there's really not much in the way of kingdom growth. So I tell people, I let God take care of the accounting system. So there was a year, it was one of our first really difficult years at Merit Assembly of God. From this perspective, we were advancing, we were moving forward, and then we had a year, of a summer of setbacks. But leading up to that setback, we had seen a lady give her heart to the Lord. She'd rededicated her life. We saw her three kids give their life to the Lord. And there was a husband who had not surrendered yet, but in that year, he did. He asked Jesus to be his Savior and his Lord and forgive him of all of his sins. That made the entire family Christians. That's fantastic. We were celebrating. 30 days later, their job moved them out of the state of Florida. And so if you would have looked at the balance sheet, if you will, you would have seen our attendance went down. You would have seen that our finances went down. But if you looked at it from a kingdom perspective, the kingdom of God had grown. And so we refused to be depressed because we knew that the kingdom of God had actually grown. And so that's what we want to do. Remember, it's God's kingdom. It's not yours. Too many times, pastors get concerned with their little niche of the kingdom instead of partnering with other realms of the kingdom and saying, what can we do to advance the kingdom of God in Brevard County? So this year, the City Fest was supposed to take place. That didn't take place. It's now been pushed to 2021. And I pray that the pastors in this area will not be preoccupied with just their congregation as much as we will be in the future about what can we do together to advance the kingdom of God. That's what we're all here for. Okay, so let's look at the last part of verse number 11. It says, and you are exalted as head over all. Okay. A lot of people want to treat Jesus as an addendum onto their life. God wants to be in control. It is true. We ask him to be our Savior, to forgive us of our sins. But we also ask him to be the Lord. And so what this passage means is we want him to be the head. We want him to be the chief. We want him to be the ruler, the principal person of authority. He is head over everything. And so I could encourage you that your spirit is a great place to start. But it is a launching pad. We need him to be exalted to the position of authority, of principal authority in every area of our life. And so one of the first areas will be you're going to have to allow him to change your heart. And when he changes your heart, when he takes up residence in your heart, out of the abundance, your mouth is going to speak. And so he's going to help you to tame your tongue. Let me help you understand this. No man can tame his tongue. You can bite it, but eventually, without the Lord's control, it's eventually going to steer the ship in a direction you don't want it to. But with the Spirit of God's help, and God if God fills our heart, it's going to have an impact, and God is going to be Lord over our tongue. And so you're not going to be speaking things to tear people down. You're going to be speaking things to build people up. When you begin to speak like that, it's going to change the way that you think. It's going to change the way that you look at people. So God's going to be Lord over your vision. He's going to be Lord over your actions. God's going to want to be Lord over your finances. God's going to want to be Lord over your time. And all of a sudden, people are freaking out and saying, oh, no, God's going to take over everything. You know what? When that happens, it is the most glorious place that you will ever find yourself in. Because the best place that we can ever be is right in the center of God's will, where God is the one in charge. God is the one making the decisions. God is the one saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. He says, this is what I want you to say. This is what I want you to do. And I will tell you that the more we submit ourselves to him, the more effective we are going to be. There's a song in the hymnal, and it's a great statement. It's an absolutely great statement. I guarantee you, if you've been around church for 20 or 30 years, you've heard somebody sing this song or a modern rendition of it. And the statement is this: I surrender all. I surrender all. And we really do try to live by that in our house, and we've tried to instill that into our children. And so one of my family members was needing to buy a vehicle. Their vehicle was getting to be in rough shape. So what they did was they started praying for God to make a way for a vehicle. They had seen us pray for a vehicle, and God would provide it. And so they started praying, and God would provide the vehicle. And unless God said yes, they said no. They weren't waiting for God to say no. They were waiting for God to say yes. And they had a friend, and the friend was saying, oh, I don't worry about that stuff. I just assume that God is going to provide. Well, let me tell you, they have found that that friend has found that it is a lot more difficult to live life like that than to wait for God's provision for him to say yes. So for my family member, God was the Lord over their automobiles, and their automobiles are used for the glory of God. It's a lot tougher when that person was praying for another area of their life, but they were determined to wait for God to say yes. There was a lot of disappointments, a lot of disappointments, but they've continued to say, in God's timing, I know God is going to provide. So I will tell you, you want God to be the head of your employment decision. You want God to be the head of your home. You want God to be the head over your finances. You want him at the forefront. I can tell you, you might think, oh, I'll never be able to function. I'm telling you, you can't function without it. I have a philosophy. I've said it for the 30 years that I've been in Brevard County, and going on 31 years. And that is this: I do not see how people function without a church. And I know that not everybody can get out and get to a local church, and there's all sorts of issues and things like that. I understand that. I'm here to tell you this: if you can get to a church, but you don't go to a church, my mind has a difficult time comprehending that, because God wants to be Lord over everything, and you're missing out on some of the best blessings that he is going to provide you in the relationships and dynamics that you're going to encounter at church. a person that I know is plugged in at a church. They have grown marvelously. Not our church, but we celebrate what God is doing in their life. It's not an Assembly of God church. We still celebrate what God is doing in their life. And God just opens connections through that that ends up being a blessing to all that's involved, because God is the head over that. Let God be in charge of the timing. Operate by the wisdom of God's word. Okay? I have made a lot of mistakes in my life. We just try not to make those mistakes, catastrophic mistakes, but I've made abundant mistakes. And you know what I try to use those for? As opportunities to speak into other people's lives to prevent them from making the mistakes that I did. Let God and His Word be in charge of your finances, your relationships, your jobs, all of that stuff. I had a job one time and it was killing me spiritually. It was killing me spiritually. And so I said, God, I would rather not have this job and thrive spiritually than have this job and die spiritually. And so I quit. And it was a growing opportunity. That's what I call a problem. It was a challenge. But I will tell you, I've never regretted that, not one single solitary day. God, yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. I pray that here on this Wednesday that you'll give God a promotion. How many times do we ask for promotions? We ask for a raise or for a better job or something like that. I want to ask you today to give God a promotion. Elevate Him to an area of your life that you've just kind of ignored Him. He's just been kind of a silent partner in that. And say, God, we're giving you a promotion today. You're the boss. You're the boss of our time. You're the boss of our finances. You're the boss of our home. You're the Lord over everything in our life. What you say, we are going to do. God bless you. You have a fantastic Wednesday. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio
Thank
program.
You for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Here I cry, Lord, we pray. Our faces down, our hands are raised. You called us out, we turned.